Hi, I'm Jen Turner, and I'm a psychic medium.
Hi, I'm Nadia Thorman, and I'm like the Ryan Seacrest to her Teresa Caputo.
And we're here to have a normal conversation about weird stuff.
Welcome to
The Soul Spot.
Hello, friends.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, we're hot on the mic.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're going to get going. We're doing a little bit of a pre-show conversation.
Yeah.
And Jen stopped me and she said, save it for the podcast. And I said, yes, you're correct. This is a lot to say. I have a lot to say.
Okay.
You have a lot to say. Okay. Today's topic is love versus fear.
Yes.
And the reason this topic came up, obviously it's a very big topic in the spiritual community, but Jen actually first brought this concept to my attention last year. I don't remember what podcast we were recording, but you talked about it for like maybe 5 or so minutes in the podcast.
Okay.
And your whole point was that there are only two emotions and everything stems from either love or fear.
Correct.
That there, nothing else exists. Everything's like a sub-emotion of those two emotions.
Correct.
And when love exists, all these other emotions can't.
Yes.
Right? Like fear, anxiety, anger, you know, name all of those negative, bad, scary feelings cannot exist in the space of love. So I have taken that nugget that you brought to my attention last year. And I can't tell you how much that I have recognized that as a theme in my daily life. Okay.
I love that.
And it's been one of my most important spiritual practices because it really helped me break down a lot of my behaviors, even for something super small. And this is a real example. This is not, this isn't made up. This is like literally how my brain has kind of retrained itself since you brought that to my attention. So I am very ADD and I tend to get overwhelmed sometimes when I'm like leaving my house.
Mm-hmm.
So in such a moment, I had been cleaning my car and I couldn't find my keys. And I just remember like having such a moment of like emotional anxiety and panic over these lost keys and being mad at myself and really spiraling like super quickly. And it was the weirdest, like, you know, as Oprah would say, it was an aha moment.
Right.
Because I stopped myself mid personal meltdown and I just stopped myself. And I said to myself, the words came to my head, love versus fear. And I said, this anxiety, where is this coming from?
Right.
This is fear-based.
Right.
Because what does this mean if I can't find my keys? Okay, I'm going to be late. What's the worst thing that could happen?
Yep.
I broke it down. What's the worst thing that could happen if I was late? It's not that bad, newsflash.
Right.
Right? Like when you break down those moments of like kind of the daily things that give you anxiety or stress and you really break them down to their worst case scenario, a lot of times they're either ridiculous or like, who cares?
Completely.
So then I was like, I'm going to reframe this with love. And how's that? What does that mean? Okay. That means I'm going to have patience with myself.
Yeah.
That means I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to give myself grace in this moment. Like, don't beat myself up.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to calmly now from a place of love, look for my keys in a way that's not
manic, yeah,
anxiety ridden and filled with fear. And I really understood it in that moment. It was so small.
That's cool though.
But like learning to shift that narrative in your head of like the way you approach life.
Yeah.
Everything comes back to love versus fear. And then it becomes a choice. You choose love.
Yep.
Right. So I'm going to choose to come at this from a place of love. Right?
I love it.
And this is applicable in so many situations. You know, if you have a conflict with somebody and you need to write them an email and it's a disagreement and the first place you come to, the first mode you come from is fear, that is transmitted in the whole tone of the rest of the exchange, right? Mm-hmm. If you start at a place of love, you give someone the benefit of doubt, those things translate. So anyways,
yes,
I've talked a lot, but that is literally like, I've learned so much from just that message.
Oh, that makes me so happy. It is something that my clients will hear me say all day, every day, is love and fear. So the famous quote is, there are two emotions in the human experience. It's love and fear, and the rest are details. So it's anything else, any other emotion that you can experience, you can bucket or drill down, and the root of it is either love or the root of it is either fear. And it's so simple and so beautiful, and it's going to help everybody in their practice of like their healing and their energy shifts to be able to come from that place and know which one is which. So one of the books that kind of teaches this philosophy is A Course in Miracles. We've talked about this literature before. One of the main, if you guys are familiar, you know, but it's one of like the very first kind of spiritual teachings, like its kind. I think it was in the 70s or 80s, but I'm really bad at this.
It might be the early 1800s. We don't know. Turns out we're really bad at dates.
I am really bad at guessing what time frames that they came from. I should probably pull this up, but I will tell you this, that I know for sure that Alan Cohen, if you guys haven't heard of him, he is, again, like a spiritual teacher and author. He's fantastic. He is a student of the Course in Miracles, and he's a teacher of A Course in Miracles now. He has some great books that like kind of adapt what that literature is. And he is such a prominent voice and speaker for this love versus fear. One of his famous quotes is, love is heaven and fear is hell. Where you place your attention is where you live.
Mm, yes.
And it's, I love that one because it is kind of like you can choose these things. We can't choose always what happens to us and our circumstances that take place around us, but we can choose to either come from a place of love or come from a place of fear. And it is choosing that. And by choosing that is putting your attention in that. That's how you're choosing it.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I love it. I talk about it all the time. I use it, and it is one of those reminder things. You have to, it's a fun game, and your tool that you did of that exercise you did of drilling down why you felt fearful is so important, because then you can kind of like name it. And I think that that is an exercise I do with my clients a lot. That's the exercise I do with myself all the time of like, sometimes, you know, when you just have that anxiety and you're like, what am I fearing right now? Like, what is, like, why am I anxious? Why am I upset? Why do I feel sad? Why do I feel down? Sometimes, honestly, like my emotional spectrum sometimes is like, I just feel down, mm-hmm, and I don't really know why I feel down. Like my energy just feels down, and right, I kind of just feel blue.
Right.
And then I have to name it and be like, why do I feel that way right now?
Right.
I feel that way because, oh yeah, this morning I woke up and I got this text message that like kind of brought me down. Why did it bring me down? Well, it brought me down because it made me feel this. And if you keep going all the way down, it's always based on fear. And it's sometimes it's fear that I can't help. And that's a big one for me, probably because I'm a three. But it's like, I get that a lot where it's like, even if it's somebody else's issue and my energy is being pulled down by it, it's like, I want to help them and I don't know if I can help them.
Right.
So then I have to say, my fear is that I can't help them. What is the best that I can do from love?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I need to just know that I'm giving them this with love. I am notorious, as you know, for being a really late text responder or not texting back at all. I'm terrible at it. I feel guilty all the time because I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like they're not going to know that I'm actually like, I really appreciated that message from them and I never even responded to it. And so I have to like sometimes drill down that and be like, okay, I'm sending them so much love right now. And like, and kind of course correct it by just my emotions.
Right. You know what, not to laugh because I love you so much, but I pictured you like with your phone on the counter, like staring at it, sending love. Like when you can literally just pick it up. And like you're like, wow, what should I do? You're like, I don't know. Technology's hard. But I know how to do energy work. That's literally where my brain went. Sorry.
I mean, it's true. Right. It's like totally true.
No, but I do feel your message because it's so good. It's about showing yourself that love. So, like, one of your not best qualities, let's say, is that you don't text people back right away.
Right.
But, like, you have enough self-love to know that your intentions are good, and the people in your life that know you and love you, i.e. me and all of your other besties, know you.
Yeah.
And nobody is offended by that.
Yeah.
And I think the more people are in your life, the more people know that your intentions are always the best. And you're a busy, busy gal.
Yeah.
You've got your summer bucket list.
I'm doing all my activities, people. So I'll text you later.
So you know that it's not because you're not thinking of that person. It's
right.
just because you're a busybody. You're trying to do all the things.
Yeah.
Your heart and your mind is in the right place. And that's showing your self-love in that moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it's completely. And it's like, okay, I'm working on a lot of things as far as like time management goes. So that's another thing that I'm like, I have to come from this as a place from a place of love and all of that. But anyways, that's not the point. The point is that it's either love or fear. And I can apply this to so many things in my life and really kind of, sometimes, you know, what's funny is that our default, I think, is that we come from this like fear-based place because we've been taught that of
yeah.
like, worry about this and worry about that and worry about that and pay attention to this. Whereas love is our actual, like the true default and the true natural place. But we are confused that we think fear is real and we think love is an illusion.
And a lot of that is like societal conditioning.
Completely.
Right? So it's like the way you were raised and then now we're in the year 2021 and not only do we have like a fear-based like news social media like machine, but we have algorithms designed to feed into our deepest fears.
Right.
So it's like we have constructed a world that we're in, you know, on our phones where if we're not careful and we don't have those boundaries with ourselves to limit our time on all those outlets, then we're actually like creating more of that for ourselves.
Completely.
So there's got to be a lot of conscious effort to show ourselves enough love and enough, give ourselves enough boundaries to not engage in that and not be getting that messaging 24/7.
Yes. Yes. And I think, like this quote here, much of our training has told us that fear is real and love is the illusion. It's really the other way around.
I love that.
You know, and it's like, that is completely it. One topic that I want to like kind of launch into with this, just because it comes up so much during readings, is that most people's fear, when I do readings, like with people about like intuitive stuff and what their future holds, their main things that they're fearful of are career stability and like money, love, right? Those are like the main themes. And when you really kind of boil that down, it's fear of what other people think of them.
Mm, yeah.
It's such a big one that in the day to day, and especially this is male and female in different forms, but it comes where they have such bad anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just is dealing with so much anxiety lately. Not lately. I mean, I'm sure it's happened forever, but like it is such a huge topic of conversation in my readings. Anxiety, 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 anxiety about what people like at their job. I could go on and on about all the examples, but one thing that always comes up from this, which I know you and I have talked about, is like the imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this feeling of I'm doing the best that I can, but it's not good enough. And I don't think my best is actually going to be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to be called out as a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And I am hyper aware now of what everybody is thinking of me. And I have one example in mind is a man who came to me, and this is so many men these days came to me and said that he does not enjoy his work. He doesn't feel like he's doing a good job. He's super stressed out. When you boil it down, he's actually not stressed. Okay, so when I think of like stressful work jobs, it's like because there's so much to do and there's not enough time, he's got to hustle. That's not the stress he's dealing with. The stress he's dealing with is all in his head of what other people are thinking of him.
Wow, yeah. It's like his own mental gymnastics of
yeah.
not performing high enough or whatever, probably, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And everybody feels this way.
Yeah.
So the imposter syndrome, male, female, old, young, whatever it is, whatever position you're in, it could be people without even having jobs. It's like, it could be, you know, a stay-at-home mom or whatever. It's like, there's still imposter syndrome happening of like, I'm a mom now.
Well, I think it comes, imposter syndrome comes very easily to people because, you know, we position ourselves in society to, you know, a lot of times we act like we have our shit together when we don't.
Right.
And that is kind of like the default for most people. And yes, we're having more of those conversations now, and that is the good thing about social media. And we know that we're all human. Even every great leader or every motivational speaker or anybody who's ever been anybody is still a human being.
Completely.
You know what I mean? And it's like, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We say, we kind of look at things for what they are. Like, everyone has their weaknesses. Everyone has faults. Everyone has their sins, if you're going to call them that.
Yeah.
But we're all human,
yeah,
right? And so just know that nobody's perfect at what they do, and nobody has all the answers, and nobody knows all the things. And it is hard, but I think a lot of that just comes from, like, how we've learned to, you know, coexist with each other, and we're all kind of like puff. It's like the metaphorical, like, puffing of the chest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, look at me and my life, and I've got my shit together. And it's like, no one's life is really like that.
No. And I think the more you're around successful people, the more you realize it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's easy to, like, create them into something different or better or bigger when you're not in their day-to-day. And then when you're in their day-to-day, you're like, oh, they're just like us.
Yeah.
But one thing that I wanted to share is, so Alan Cohen is that author that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
And he's just amazing. And he wrote this little article that I want to share part of it with you guys. Is this shocking revelation confirmed to me a phenomenon I see in so many successful professionals. Even while the voice of fear pursues us, we can go on to create huge success. So it's interesting because it doesn't mean that the people who are the most successful do not have imposter syndrome. It's that they recognize it and keep going anyways.
Totally. I was just thinking about this as you were talking. I think the difference between a lot of these, you know, I'll say great leaders because that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
But you could say athletes, you could say, you know, celebrities of any kind, but people that go on to have like this crazy recognition.
Yeah.
That it takes balls.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't mean that there's other people, there's not other people all around you that aren't just as capable. They're just not doing it.
Yep.
And it's like, those people are making the choice to do it, and even they're pushing through the fear. They're doing it anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. It says that that voice often disguises itself as fraud guilt, or what we're calling imposter syndrome. The idea that I am a phony, and if people knew the truth about me, they would not pay me, like me, or want me. And then he goes on to say, a survey of top Hollywood movie studio CEOs asked, what do you fear the most? The most common answer was, I am afraid that people will find out I don't really know what I'm doing.
Wow.
Meanwhile, these execs were turning out fabulous movies, earning millions of dollars for their studios. And he goes on to say, success is not the liar, fear is.
Yeah. I mean, it's so profound and so true. Like, we tend to put people on pedestals that, like, they're not real.
Right.
You know? It's inspiring, though.
Oh, it totally is.
I love hearing that.
It's so freeing, and especially, like, sometimes I'm with clients and I'm like, I wish you could just listen in to all of the sessions I have with all of my other clients.
Right.
So you can realize this is not you.
Right.
This is so common, and stop beating yourself up about it. But
right.
You're doing great. And it's just to have that inner self-love and that confidence,
mm-hmm,
to know, like, okay, I may not be perfect. I may not have all the answers, but maybe I do. And maybe I'm doing the best that I can. And
right.
This is good enough. And so this, I want to read a couple other paragraphs to you in this. It says, A Course in Miracles tells us that there are only two voices we might listen to, love and fear. We all have a fear that fear voice that chides us with all kinds of threats. At some point, we must stop running from the fear voice and confront it. The question is not, does fear taunt you? The question is, are you willing to move ahead anyway? And then this, I've actually heard him talk about before, and I want to say this part. It's so cool. My mentor, Hilda Charlton, used to say, the dogs bark and the caravan moves on.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, while all the dogs are barking around you, you keep going.
Right.
And so I think that it is a really cool message to say, fear will not be eliminated, but fear can be silenced in a way. Like, you can exist within the fear. You can keep going within the fear. You can find your lane within it.
Right. Right. Okay. So I love all of this talk about imposter syndrome. I love all of these profound thoughts about love versus fear. And something that I read a while ago that was super helpful, that I think is a really good practice of self-love, which I think is important in this conversation, because I think a lot of this is really talking about self-love.
Yeah.
One way we can love ourselves when we feel like overwhelmed by the weight of the world, or maybe that we had a day that was not as productive or kind of shitty or whatever. What you do is you write down everything you accomplished that day, but you could do it like throughout the day. So I know a lot of us make to-do lists, but another way to do this is to be like, all right, let's say it's noon. And you just feel overwhelmed and like you have this stuff to do and you don't feel like you got enough done. Instead, you reframe it and you have it like on your to-do list. Mm-hmm. But you write down that you did the dishes.
I seriously do this.
You do this?
I do this.
After you did it.
Yeah. If only I didn't get to cross off enough on my list, then I'll write what I did do and then I'll cross it off.
Okay. So that's insane, right? Yes. I mean, you're the list queen, so it doesn't surprise me, but this is a great exercise in self-love, because what you can do is say, okay, it's noon, but guess what? I dropped the kids off at school. I did the dishes. I answered those two emails I've been wanting to get to. Whatever else you did, I edited a podcast. You know, you just go through the list and you think to yourself like, oh, I've actually done a lot of things today.
That's so cool. I love that, actually. Like, I do it just because I am a list checker, but I love the idea of it being like more of a self-love thing.
Yeah, like, don't be so hard on yourself, because you actually do a lot in a day, even if it doesn't feel like what you wanted to do or was the most important.
Right.
There is an exercise of self-love that comes from looking at all the things you did and having a sense of pride, like, I did do all those things. Mm-hmm. And that gives me value. Like, I am a valuable human just because I didn't get to this one giant project.
Yep.
Or I didn't finish it doesn't mean I can't recognize all the other important things I did. You know?
I love that.
So anyways, I thought that was a really good tip.
That is great.
I do that not as often as I should, but I have done that when I'm in my to-do list mode. And it is your trick, because it's like, well, I didn't get to those things, but I did all these things.
Yeah.
And they weren't on the list, but I'm going to write them anyways.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, yeah, it gives you that different vantage point, really. We're so in our own heads, like little like wind-up toys sometimes. Oh, yeah. We forget like all of the important things we're actually doing. So to see it written down on paper and to recognize, like, I did all of this stuff today, like, I'm worthy of like that love for myself.
Yeah.
Because it's okay that I didn't do all the things, but I did a lot of the things, right?
Oh my God, totally. I'm going to tell you something, and I think you're going to be really proud of me for this.
Okay.
So in my calendar, my grandma calendar that I like use for all my daily stuff, I kind of had like a breakdown last week where I was like, I don't know how much longer I can do this. Like,
all the things. Yeah.
Like, something's got to give. Mm-hmm. I had that wonderful Reiki session with a woman named Isabel Gray. She's fantastic. Like, I got a lot of healing out of it. And I was like, I need to, you know, this is what I do. Obviously, I believe in the powers of this. I need to do it more for myself. You know, I'm still growing. I'm still like, and I'm working with so many other people's energy. I need a cleansing of that. And it felt so good. And I had this moment of like, I don't know where this is going to be built to. Like, mm-hmm. what does this business become? Is it worth being taken away from my family for mm-hmm. those hours? This is my call. It's always felt like my vocation, mm-hmm. but like at what, like, how do I better define this kind of thing?
Right.
So I got my calendar out and I made blank spaces where I'm not doing anything on certain days.
Mm-hmm.
And I scheduled my days off and I put blank time, like literally blacked out the calendar. So I can't take...
You scheduled your time off.
Yes. I scheduled my time off. And
that has to be intentional for someone like you.
It does.
And it's really important. I love this message because it's so important for you. I want to hug you.
Thanks. I was like, you're going to be proud of me because... And guess what? Like when it was last... I think it was last Friday, was it? And my brother was in town and I didn't have anything planned. And it was amazing.
Right.
I had the best time. Like, we were just present with each other. We played with the kids. Like, nothing was super planned. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Living life.
But it's weird because everything's what you want, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do I want to fill my days up so much? Because it's that feeling of like, I'm not going to be productive. Well, what's the worst if you're not productive? It's that I'm going to be behind. What's the worst if you're behind? Like, I'm going to spend so much time catching up.
Right.
And then it's like, boom, there it is. That's my trigger because of all of my past trauma of like feeling like I spent so much of my life having to just kind of catch up from everybody,
yeah.
you know, to everybody's level. And I was behind, right. like, so it was interesting where I was like, okay, what, why can't I just be still and present and have nothing on my calendar? You know? Mm-hmm. And so it was cool and it's been a cool practice for me, but that was a side tangent. I just wanted to share.
No, and on the heels of this, and this is adding to your point, I was listening to Dr. Drew, on a podcast a few days ago or earlier this week, and he said something that was so small and so simple that resonated so much to me with all of this kind of spiritual stuff. But a caller was calling in for something about, it was like someone in, I forgot exactly what the question was, but someone in their family had like a polyamorous relationship and they were like, is there any space in which this can work and it's healthy? And like, what do you think of this? And Dr. Drew's take on it was kind of funny. And he was just kind of like, he was lighthearted about it. And he was basically saying, hey, look, the thing is like, anytime I've seen this happen, all the problems that happen and how complicated it gets and
yeah.
all the different emotions and dynamics. And he was kind of talking practically about it, but his end message was humans need simple lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dang, that is so true. Like on every level, mm-hmm. like humans need simple lives in order to be fulfilled and happy and present. Mm-hmm. Humans need simple lives. And I thought, this is so true because the more we complicate our lives
yeah.
with things, and he was talking about too in the realms of like when men cheat and live a double life
yeah.
and like all of these things. He was talking about it.
Never ends well.
Really, yeah, in this, a lot of this relationship context, but I think it's kind of true for everything is that if we can kind of simplify everything down to like a simpler level, like if we can look at each area of our lives and figure out how we can simplify it. And it's not easy, especially as our families grow and our responsibilities, careers, activities, mm-hmm. all these things pile up with real quick. What, and we don't even realize we're doing it. You know,
right.
it's not necessarily like a conscious thing. It's like, you know, if your kid loves gymnastics or golf or baseball, now all of a sudden you're
yep.
like traveling every weekend and this is, and you're just doing it for your family and it's great. And there's wonderful things. And it's not saying like, don't do all those things or don't have a career, but it's just kind of like, now what's kind of like extra that we can like remove that complicates things that's giving us maybe a stress that we don't need.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think it's kind of like a good practice.
It is good. And like to bring it back to the love and fear, I think that we do need to ask ourselves, like, are we doing this out of love or are we doing it out of fear? Like, are we signing our kids up for all these things to in fear that they're going to be behind.
Oh, yeah.
Or in fear that they're going to be, like, not make varsity when they get to high school, whatever it may be. Like, what is the fear? That they're not going to have as many friends or learn these skills? Or are you doing this out of love because they really enjoy it and there's great lessons? So it's, like, all of that, you right. know? And, I mean, I am, like, so guilty of overscheduling myself. I'm protective over my kids' time, but I'm very, very guilty about overscheduling myself. And there's so much of, that I've had to do, like, the inner healing with of, like, can I confront my fear of being bored?
Right.
And 'cause, like, what is that? That's, like, sitting with my thoughts and that's sitting with right. my, you know, and it's like, can I just do that in my day to day? Can I live a more fluid life? So anyways, I mean, we kind of went on a tangent there, but I love it all. And I have actually one other thing that I wanted to share about, like, kind of on the topic of the imposter syndrome and fear. And this is just, like, a cool story that I wanted to share. This was, again, given by Alan Cohen. He writes, at the height of the Beatles' illustrious career, Ringo Starr decided he wasn't fit to be in a band as talented as the Beatles.
So crazy.
Crazy, right? He went to John Lennon and told him, I'm leaving the group because I'm not playing well and I feel unloved and out of it, and you three are really close. John replied, I thought it was you three. Then Ringo told Paul McCartney he felt like an outsider. Paul replied, I thought it was you three.
So crazy.
Ringo didn't bother going to George, who might have given a similar reply. The idea that any of these four, Ringo, John, Paul, or George, was not a real Beatle seems laughable and ludicrous, since each of those musicians was talented in his own way and their unique synergy made the Beatles the most successful entertainers in history. But each of them had to face and deal with their own demons. Even if the Beatles suffered fraud guilt or imposter syndrome, you can imagine what a liar voice is and why you should give it no credence and not let it stop you on your path to success.
I mean, come on.
Crazy,
there,
right?
There it is right there. Yeah, I mean, this is just so important to have this conversation, but really to have that, like, with that conversation with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, at every moment of your life, in the way we approach all of these decisions with our careers, our confidence, whether it's me looking for my keys like a little frantic rat, or if it's like Ringo feeling like he's not a real Beatle, it all comes down to love versus fear. And okay. It's wild.
Right.
But I love it because it really simplifies all of the things that kind of ail us,
yeah.
right? Like, if we can reflect and do that work. So,
yeah,
that's really cool.
Love it.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, you can follow Jen on Instagram. It's at the.soul.spot. You can follow me on Instagram. It's my name, at Nadia Thorman. We love you guys so much.
Love you.
Thank you. Bye.